Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
You see that fucking picture, Aaron? Or maybe you just sent it to me.
Oh, I only sent it to you because I got it late at night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this something I want to hear?
The nom noms reminded me of a shark.
Oh, no.
I can show it to you.
The fucker sent me a picture of some so-called artist. Mm-hmm. Fucking, he's a quack is what he is. He's a hack.
He transformed a rock that was sticking out of the water at the beach and painted it into a great white shark lunging out of the water.
That's fantastic.
That is not fantastic, and it should not be encouraged.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I mean, terrifying.
Okay. Yes,
if you're like just
still
out there boogie boarding and you look over and see this.
Yeah. If you're out there, you
But see, those people understand the enjoyment of it.
They're playing along, making a photo op. Yeah.
It's like all the people running from the inflatable dinosaur at the beer.
I don't know, just someplace.
Pretty great. It's in
hellacious
India.
Oh.
Palolem Beach, South Goa,
so that's a really
India.
Cool rock.
And it's become a favorite landmark for travelers. So I guess it's been there a while, but
good thing I'll never have to see it.
He's a
you'd have to fly on a plane for a real long time there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Any crazy ideas there, folks.
We'll just take you by boat. It'll be fun.
Yep. Speaking of which, I went to the movies yesterday and saw a lobby card, and I forgot to go by and check it out, but it was a huge shark coming out of some water or something. And it had meters down on it. So I think they're making a sequel to that.
Oh, they are. I heard they were making a sequel to that.
What was it, 27 meters down?
47 meters 47, down.
Yeah, right there.
47 meters below.
That's almost twice the meters, I thought.
That's a lot of meters. But I don't understand meters, so it means nothing.
That one was not my favorite.
I liked it.
I
was all right.
Mind it, but I saw it within like the same week that I saw
The
I
Shallows mean, came
the
out
shallows.
A, around the same the time. Shallows, the Shallows was just so much better.
So I did enjoy The
film.
Shallows more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I liked
it. It was
that
a good
one.
Movie. Like, I'll watch it again. I own it.
Like Open
I mean,
Water.
It's still a sweet shark movie, but
like Open Water's like my favorite or anything. But I mean, if you want to be creeped out for a while, it's a good film.
Yeah. I think the ending is really what did it for me. I kind of like the ending
of the meters.
Oh,
the meters.
See, I didn't like the ending.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, I was kind of like,
I'm not even remembering. Oh, yes,
no,
I am. Yes, I am.
No
okay.
happy
yeah.
endings. Yeah,
yeah.
Just.
No, I'm fine with no happy ending. I just thought it was kind of a cop out.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
Well, speaking of happy endings.
Whoa.
I just figured if I said that and turned to Lee, something would come, but nothing happened. Oh, that sounded weird. Oh, well. Tried to set you up for something.
I think you've done it just fine all your own.
He asked if we had happy endings at our wedding.
I asked happy
returns. Yeah. You did.
I asked if there was going to be happy returns. I did not say happy endings.
Many, Lee, if you want a happy returns. Ending, you better figure out a plus one, because
He's like, just one?
Yeah, right. Why limit me?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, just let me know how many if you need a harem.
What is some obscure form of measurement from another country? You know, like they have...
What is an obscure one?
Like the metric system?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, you can go into like cubits and hands
yeah.
and
I
stuff
want like
that.
A,
so that's
like,
obscure stuff.
Like 10 happy cubits. That's what I want. Or something like that.
Where's this going?
Huh. I don't know.
Well, you were talking about just tell you how many, and I wanted to be able to say I'm going to need 12 cubits.
What if you're saying 12, though?
How many
parsecs? You have to tell me how many bodies.
How fast would you like to be done? How many parsecs would you like to finish? Tell me that.
Parsec. Jesus. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I don't know.
I'm very happy with the intro to this pod.
Apparently,
he got
so.
Weird. I offered him to bring a plus one to the wedding, and shit just went down the rabbit hole.
It's my fault. Happy endings.
I don't know. Juan just brought up parsecs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Is,
in a Hawaiian shirt. So
this is abstract measurements. I asked him how fast he wanted to finish.
Yep. How so how about parsecs? That, Paul W.S. Anderson?
How about that guy?
Yeah.
Oof.
Can he actually
make
good? A good movie?
Does that get us off track? Can we get back? He can make a good movie. He doesn't always.
Hmm.
But he can. This one's quite good. I found out that I think he directs a good movie.
She was going to add to the shenanigans, and you cut her off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'll add later.
But I think he directs a good movie if he didn't write it.
Much like Stephen King, much like George Lucas, much like...
Yeah, because like, he directed Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, and I wouldn't say either one of those is a good movie. He directed Alien vs. Predator, which was like, okay, but
dear God,
it has some problems in the writing.
So not okay.
It was really funny.
He has written and directed like...
AVP makes a good drinking game. Shut up.
What do you drink? What do you do? What are the rules?
You pick a team.
Oh, and every time they like strike.
Yeah, anytime somebody goes down from the other team, drinky drinky. That's a good idea. You get shithoused.
I like that.
All right. Finally watched that new Predator movie, too.
Was it as
awful as it looked?
It's super terrible, but having said that, it knows it's super terrible, embraced its terribleness, and went like pedal to the metal. And I was like, all right, I'll watch this. This is cool. And I wound up enjoying it. I mean, I bought it, so I'll probably watch it again sometime.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. I liked it way better than either one of the AVPs because those were both crap, but thought that they were good. This one was crap, but it knew.
Oh, did they actually think they were good? Get-go.
I think so.
I'm not so sure.
I only watched the first one, and I was laughing so hard in the theaters, I was crying because it was just awful.
Yeah.
It's far more entertaining than Prometheus or Covenant, that's for sure.
Oh, I haven't seen those ones.
Entertaining.
Have you seen Prometheus?
No, I haven't.
Well, don't.
I just never got around to it.
Yeah, just don't bother.
Are you shaming me for not watching Prometheus? Really? Can we talk about how this isn't a horror movie? It's a sci-fi movie.
Event Horizon? Yes. It's a sci-fi horror.
It's more sci-fi than horror.
I would say that it's a sci-fi.
Juan and I were arguing about it.
Tucker and Dale is more comedy than horror.
Right. That's true.
But it's
true.
A comedy horror.
And I wouldn't call this a horror because of the direction they went with the story.
Right?
You don't need it's to more of a horror. Like,
I mean, I
like
the movie.
Ghost.
Don't get me wrong. I love this movie.
Exactly. But right. It's absolutely, yes, is a horror movie. This whole thing of like, I don't know if that's horror.
It's
like,
in the horror genre.
Exactly. It's a horror film set in space.
But
it's like a ghost movie or a... It's Hellraiser in space is what it is.
Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah.
So, okay. If they had gone the storyline by way of what they set it up to be, where they found the captain's logs and all the crew... of that older... God damn it. And you fucking talk to me about...
Sorry.
Hello. Pot, this is Kettle. How are you today? No, if they had followed the storyline that they set up with the captain's entries.
Mm-hmm.
Stardate.
And they did.
With everybody
originally
turning on each other and slaughtering each other.
There was
and
a half an
all
hour
that
of
other
that.
Shit.
Half an hour of that got cut out. The movie is 35 minutes
but
shorter
not,
than it was.
But not from the new crew. So it's all cut out from...
It's all cut out from what you would have seen. Well, no, there's a lot cut out from the new crew too. But those flashbacks were like expounded upon in the version he originally made.
But so they started off with like, hey, we're gonna go insane and prey on each other and kill each other and do horrible, terrible, mutilated things to each other. That's what happened to the original crew, and this crew just died because of the haunted spaceship killing them. They didn't kill each other. They didn't go mad. They didn't turn on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what I wanted.
Well, I
see.
Think
that would have been more of a
that
would have been more of a horror movie in my opinion.
I think it was different between the old crew and the new crew, and we'll of course go into this a little bit more. Yeah. But because the old crew went somewhere that this crew did not.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was while they were there that they did all those things.
Yeah.
And
but even well,
that's the thing of the movie is, you know, we all know where they went. Or where they're implying they went.
Yeah, exactly.
And this crew did not. They're just dealing with what came back from there.
Yeah.
Which is like a single maleficent entity versus being a whole. So anyways, Event Horizon.
That's the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's the movie we're doing.
And what beer are we drinking with it? Let's just get right to the point, people.
No, we're still enjoying our
we're drinking our beer.
With a young Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill.
It's got all sorts of folks. Yeah, Sam Neill. Jurassic Park, of course. Lawrence Fishburne. Who was the mailman on Pee-wee's Playhouse,
No, he was the cowboy.
The cowboy. That's
right.
Cowboy. Yeah, the cowboy. Yeah.
Don't forget smoldery-eyed Sean Pertwee.
I like that guy, yeah.
who was in Dog Soldiers that we talked about a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A couple other folks that I barely recognize. Jason Isaacs, who is from Harry Potter. That's
I was going to say, he's old fucking Malfoy.
Yeah. Oh. Which I... Oh. He's the, like, doctor-y kind of nerdy scientist.
I totally didn't catch that one.
Nope. I saw his name and was like, who the crap was he? But... Yeah, he did not look the same at all. And this was late 90s, so this wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, well, he had dark hair, too, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was also in Grindhouse and The Cure for Wellness. Cure for Wellness was pretty cool. Never saw it. But, yeah, I don't know. Lots of fun people. Kathleen Quinlan was in there. She was in Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight Zone, the movie, some other fun stuff, too.
Yeah.
But I think the star power aided some of the believability, honestly, of the movie.
Yeah, no, they had a killer cast.
Yeah, because Lawrence Fishburne apparently was going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger for a time. And somebody else.
It would have been so much funnier with Arnold.
Oh, yeah, they had Arnie lined up. It would have been Bruce Willis was lined up.
It would have been way more ridiculous.
Die Hard in Space.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Some Event Horizon Nakatomi shit. Oh, my God.
That's right. So, Paul W.S. Anderson wrote and directed this thing. He didn't write this one. He only directed this one. It was written by Philip Eisner, who apparently this was his one, like, thing. This was his one success, because he wrote, like, Firestarter 2 and The Mutant Chronicles, and then, like, hasn't made anything in, like, 15 years. But he did a good job writing this thing.
That was good.
But as I understand it, it changed many, many times as to what the movie was actually going to be. Because originally it was Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go to a ship and encounter evil aliens that, like, preyed on them. And then someone was like, no, make it more scary. Make it, like, spooky. And so
let's make a Shining in outer space was one, one draft.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad they went this way instead of the other way.
Instead of aliens and things?
Yeah, because the alien thing's done.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things plagued this film. One was the fact that they cut out 35 minutes of it, which are now gone. And you can read all over the internet for 80 years, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that as we move on, of what some of that missing footage was and where it went.
I've got detailed notes on
there you go.
Because it is brutal.
It really is.
One of the biggest scenes or collections of scenes.
Yeah. So 35 minutes went missing and was reportedly found 3 to 4 times and not usable and this and that. And it's gone back and forth whether it'll show up, and it probably never will. But the other problem with it is that Titanic...
Had to beat out Titanic, man.
They had to beat the date because Titanic got pushed back because they weren't... Cameron was doing reshoots and all sorts of stuff, and he pushed his release date back, and they went, oh, fuck, we don't have a summer movie. So guess what? Your fall release movie is now our summer movie. So he had much less time.
Yeah, it sucked because Paramount wanted their hit, and they wanted their hit to be on the theaters before Titanic. They saw that opportunity. But in the process, they sacrificed a lot of reshoot and editing and proper second unit filming, and so... The director had to make these ridiculous promises where normally, you know, you go through 10 weeks of editing. He ended up having to do it in 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And the initial first draft was pretty crappy when he showed it.
Well, apparently it made people, like, vomit.
Yeah.
And it has those urban legends, maybe, or maybe they're truth. I don't know. But apparently multiple people passed out in the screenings.
And based on some
so intense.
Based on some of these deleted scenes and how they got those deleted scenes... I can believe it.
So has anybody else gone onto, like, YouTube and watched those super fast cut flashbacks on the super slow-mo?
And paused them?
Yeah. So there's some guy that put up a video of all those flashbacks, all collected from the whole movie, and he plays them in super slow-mo in high def, so you can really see what's occurring. If you stretched any of those, even a couple seconds longer than they are, let alone, like, half an hour longer than they are, it would be very... very hard to put it into a theater. It was some pretty gross, gnarly shit.
I would have believed that in the 80s, but this was filmed in 1997.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm a little surprised by the censorship of some of this.
Yeah,
it received that.
I think it's because they were going for a summer blockbuster, not a horror movie.
Yeah.
They were like, this is going to be a big sci-fi, what would they call it, a space opera? Mm-hmm. They were like, this is going to be our space opera. You know, when you say space opera, you start thinking of things like Star Wars.
There's only a few. That's Flash Gordon, Star Wars, Buck Rogers.
That's a big deal, widely accepted.
House of a Thousand Corpses got the same way. You know, it wasn't released for a long time. You had to cut back a lot of the shit you put in it. And I mean, things happen.
Goddamn Hollywood.
I mean, I wish this would come out as a director's cut. It would just fly off the shelves.
Problem is it came out right before DVD got big. So DVDs, I think, were around, but they weren't like treasure troves of bonus features and extras and all that kind of stuff. If they were, all that extra footage he cut out would have been archived in some way. But since they weren't, and this is the original release of this was on VHS, they were like, well, we don't need all this footage. So it literally went into like boxes. And I guess they found some of it in India.
Yeah, in I was looking that up because it was in a salt mine.
Yeah.
Fucking it. It was stored in a salt mine.
I don't know, but they found footage from
this of all film places, in a salt mine. A bunch of these scenes, a bunch of this editing that he did was in Transylvania. Transylvania in a salt mine that had rotted away because of improper storage and archiving and things like that.
And I guess in like 2007 or something like that, somebody found a VHS tape of his original cut and was like, I've got it. And it was also degraded into like non-usable status. And I'm like, I don't give a crap. Put that shit on a freaking extra feature no matter how shitty it looks.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
hasn't happened yet.
Well, so the overall premise of this movie.
Yeah.
Apparently it's set 2047.
Okay. Yeah, because in 2015 we colonized the moon.
So we better get with it. Crew astronauts sent on a rescue mission after a missing spaceship, the Event Horizon, spontaneously reappears in orbit around Neptune.
Yes.
So there we go. The crew shows up. They search. They find all kinds of...
Stuff,
slaughter.
Yeah, there's floating teeth. There's piles of
body parts,
kind of body part and grue, I guess you would call it, kind of smeared into corners of the ship. And there's a corpsicle.
There's a corpsicle. Yeah, I love it.
Which I thought was pretty great.
And of course, they bring along Sam Neill's character, who's like the expert that knows all about, which is part of the deleted scenes too, but he knows all about the Event Horizon.
He's the creator.
He built it. Right. He built all the designs.
He knows that the engine is actually a harnessed black hole, and that allows them to transverse time and space in the way they do, and it disappears and comes back and fucking brings hell with it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
In summary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it did. It came across as a possessed ship, like the Amityville House.
Well, it is. I mean, he tells you that in dialogue. Yeah. It just basically says the ship came back, or it went in there as a thing and came back as an entity, or however he puts it. Yeah. But yeah, this ship creates, using this gravity drive, creates a black hole so that it can travel any distance in the universe by folding space-time and just popping in one spot and out the other instantaneously. But the first time they turned it on, it just went away for, how long did they say, 7 years?
Yep.
So it's gone for 7 years, and then it pops back.
Yeah.
So where has it been for 7 years? So that's the other thing that kind of led me to really kind of groove on the fact that this ship has something weird going on with it that's like beyond rationale, because it was in whatever this other, they keep calling it another dimension, but it was in this other place for seven full effing years, you know, picking up whatever it picks up over there. So, by the time they get there, it's good and fucked.
Oh, yeah.
It's good and fucked. So I love the design of their ship. They're like search and rescue, salvage.
Lewis and Clark whatever.
Yeah, the Lewis and Clark. I love the design of their ship because it was a really cool mix of like an alien kind of industrial looking, like, you know, we put these together just to last a long time and survive the rigors of space kind of ship. But it also was very relatable to what we know as space, because like it had the tinfoil walls like we see in the ISS and stuff like that. And it had like, you know, oxygen canisters just strapped to the wall the way you see on the space station, things like that. So it was a really cool hybrid.
Yeah.
And what I really liked is then you get to the Event Horizon, and it's nothing fucking like that. Nope. It's just straight evil.
Yeah.
The whole design of that place, that whole ship, is what I really like about
Well, they based heavily influenced the design of the ship off of the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. One of my notes here, what did I write? I said I don't know where I wrote it, but I said something about the ship is really cool and at times looks like a temple, like some kind of evil temple.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I said torture equipment mixed with a cathedral is what I wrote. Mm-hmm. So that's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did try to indicate that the engine looked like rotating church towers. They had cruciform shapes, columns, a lot of interior church design work.
Yeah, the front like viewing windows were cross shaped, and the gravity tunnel, which is like a spinning hallway of like metal blades. If you've ever been to a haunted house and you've walked in one of those spinning tunnels that throws you off whack, they had one of those. They called it the meat grinder because it looked like it was just going to chew everybody up.
Apparently, which was one of the hardest things for them to put together and make work. And it also, a little trivia, apparently has 9 segments for the 9 levels of hell.
In that hallway. Which goes to the black, or the portal.
Goes to the portal of hell, yeah. I laughed when I first saw it because I thought, what a cheesy design. Nobody's going to have a fucking spinny carnival ride tunnel thing. And it reminded me of when I was watching $6 Million Man as a kid, when Andre the Giant played Bigfoot. And in the back of Bigfoot's lair. What? Yeah, Andre the Giant played Bigfoot, Bigfoot.
I'm taking a note for that because I got to YouTube the show.
Andre the Giant was Bigfoot, and it turned out he was bionic because there was a mad scientist living in the deep in the forest in a big cave that had built the bionic Bigfoot. And part of the lair to get there was one of these rotating tunnels.
Oh, geez.
And there's this big fight scene between Steve Austin and Bigfoot in this tunnel.
Well, we go in a lot of haunted houses. So when I first saw it, I was bummed. Like,
I would love to see a haunted house of Event Horizon, actually. Oh, a ship made. You're going in there with that shit. You got the meat grinder tunnel in there because that's always in a...
As the doors open, they have like spikes on the inside, you know, which were to believe is just to secure them into the frames. But it just looks menacing and like teeth.
Especially if it was like the deleted scene haunted house version of Event Horizon.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. But you don't even need that. Just the suspense buildup. It would make add stuff to it. Just, I mean...
It would make a great haunted house, actually.
Yeah, I think it would.
You heard it here first?
There you go,
Somebody get on that.
So I thought it was kind of cheesy just because I was like, oh, we've seen this in every haunted house we go to has one of these spinning hallways, you know, in the clown maze, and it's always the 3D colors, and then you trip and fall and stuff. But then they explained it with like a sentence or two where they said something like, oh, yeah, this spins in such a way that it counteracts the gravitational effect when this gravity drive goes in. It doesn't just rip apart the whole rest of the ship. And I was like, oh, well. At least they weren't just like, it's a cornball tunnel that looks like a meat grinder. Ooh, spooky.
Sorry, I was on board. What? One of those tunnels did we all recently go in that was so good that you literally thought you were going to fall over?
Oh, was it up in Washington at that fair one?
Yes.
I think it was there because I kept talking
about
it.
The haunted house we went to at the Clark County
Fairgrounds.
God, that one was good. I could not keep my balance.
They had a really good one. Yeah. Well, apparently, as they were filming in this tube, this is a piece of trivia I saw, there was explosions through it, and people kept running through it and flying through it and being pushed. And all, you know, it was a main focal point of a lot of scenes, so they had to have a camera person in there. They had to build a whole camera rig to record all of that by robot because the cameraman couldn't stay steady when he was in the room.
Oh, shit.
And so none of the shots were usable. So they had to build a thing just to film in that spinny thing. So apparently they're very effective.
Wow. I can believe that. That's the thing I look forward to most in any kind of carnival or haunted house or something like that, if it's going to have a fucking spinny tunnel.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really effective of them going from the Lewis and Clark normal ship onto this other ship, and nothing really changed, but you just got the idea that this other ship was going to eat them.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I would have stopped and looked at fucking Sam Neill's character, Dr. Weir.
Weir.
I said, what the fuck was wrong with you building this goddamn medieval...
That's right.
Death trap,
man.
And apparently Dr. Weir is a person. Did you find that trivia?
I found the trivia that it's that the name Johann, was influenced by...
Johann Weir.
Who was an occultist and a demonologist.
He was a Dutch physician, occultist, and demonologist. Yeah, so that was a very apropos name, considering where this was going to go. So, I mean, long story short on this film, it's no big surprise for anybody, but especially not if you've seen Disney's The Black Hole, which we'll get to later.
Maximilian.
I actually want them to do a remake of that.
I would not mind that.
Yeah. And I say that knowing all the things that I know, but man, that would be so cool.
Right after I watched this movie last night, I went on YouTube and watched a bunch of scenes from The Black Hole and listened to the soundtrack again and stuff, because that movie effed my brain when I was a kid.
Yeah, when I was a kid, me too.
Yeah, that movie fucked me up. And I love it.
I used to draw those little robot guys all the time.
Yeah. So I found out there's toys of those. Of those original Black Hole figures. And it was actually a response by Disney for Star Wars. Because Disney was like, oh, we need space toys and merchandisable characters. So that's why they came up with the little floating, you know, droids and all that kind of stuff. So I went on to eBay and found like a Maximilian toy, $400.
Of course.
One of the little floating garbage can looking dudes was like $450, $500. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Those will stay on the bucket list, but
yeah, sure will.
But anyways, the similarities between Disney's The Black Hole from 1979 and this movie from 1998 are like astonishingly similar.
Oh yeah,
very very same.
There was one goofy. Well, I mean, we can get into it later.
No, get into it now.
It's not the proper time.
Okay, all right.
It's still a work in progress in my head.
So, these, just like Ghost Ship or anything else with a salvage crew, or Virus with Jamie Lee Curtis was in Virus, I think.
Anyways, oh, she was. That's right.
Just like any of those things, the salvage crew shows up and in short order learns something's terribly wrong with this ship they've come to, and then something happens to their ship, so they can't get back. So that, I mean, that's pretty standard. But what I thought was cool about this one is, without explanation, they all begin to see very specific and strange things. So one lady keeps seeing her kid with like sores and wounds on his legs and like bugs coming out of his legs and things like that. And one guy keeps seeing his wife who had committed suicide.
What was up? Why were her eyes gone though?
Well, that all has to do with stuff what we find happened. Out.
I think it was a crossover between his memory and
the ship's situation.
I'm going to show you your dead wife, which is pretty terrifying already.
Sure. Or and maybe, have her say stuff like, hey, come be with me.
But now I'm going to also gouge her eyes out just because. Yeah. It needs to be more.
Eyes are a dangerous game in this film. If you've got eyes, you're in trouble. Watch out.
Oh, Mr. Justin. Yeah.
Eyes don't work out well.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. There's a captain that keeps hearing a crew member, you know, ask for help and things like that. So they all have these very specific kind of, I don't know,
they're all hauntings with, that they're they're not all without their own sins. They have some tragedy in their life. Something's gone on that the ship exploits and said, holy fuck, man, it's a banquet. You could have sent me just normal astronauts, but each one of these motherfuckers first shouldn't be in space because of their psych test would have failed them.
Totally right.
But here they are, and it's a goddamn free-for-all.
It's preying on their personal fears.
Yeah, like whatever their one regret or grief or trauma was,
their one dark secret, their one darkness. Yeah.
This ship just pushes that button.
If we were a space crew, and we were in space and got landed in a haunted ship, what would be like that one?
So beer before we go to butt stuff.
Yes, let's go to beer.
And of course, I don't expect anybody to really say what their thing is, but what would you? Do you guys have something?
I gotta think here for a second. So when we get the beer going, I'll see if I can come up with what
would,
I would be.
What would be that one
by.
Thing that you wouldn't want to come out or to be tormented by? You know,
honestly, mine would be something so lame. Like, why'd you spend $3,000 at Disneyland?
God damn it!
Every year for 15
It'd be
years.
The hat box ghost.
somebody opened my hat box ghost box.
Oh yeah. Mine would be all the toys that my cat destroyed when you destroyed like $1,000 worth of toys in one jump.
Oh, I can see your toys
right
killing
over
me,
there.
Actually.
Oh, yeah, one of these things.
Can I give me another bottle?
This room will cave in and we'll all day. Here you go. So the beer that we are opening, I chose for a couple reasons. Three reasons, actually, so we might as well just rip right through them. So this is Ecliptic Brewing right here from Portland. This is their beer called Orbiter IPA. I guess four reasons. So the fourth reason I just added is because I like it.
Oh,
it's
quite
a good IPA.
It's muy delicioso.
But three reasons. One, Orbiter. When they encounter this ship, one of the things they say is that the ship is in a, what do they call it? A
asynchronous declining orbit.
just forgot what it was. But a degrading orbit. Yeah. So it's to imply, you know, that there was some kind of a rush and a time limit with which they had to save themselves from this ship, or the ship was going to be sucked down to Neptune and basically destroyed. They never talk about it again. So I thought that was pretty interesting that, like, they set this occurrence that's going to happen, which is that the orbit is decaying and the ship's going to eat the planet.
Well, I think once Event Horizon butt-fucked Lewis and Clark into oblivion, they no longer cared about the degrading orbit.
Because they replaced the time limit with air.
Yeah, they had 20 hours of air.
Yeah, because when their ship got attacked by whatever and torn, the hole got torn open.
Yeah,
they lost the majority of their air supply.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense then.
Oh, that's fine.
Second reason I chose Orbiter is that the soundtrack of this was very non-assuming. It wasn't like something I would normally talk about where I'm like, oh, it set the mood, or oh, it was super creepy, or oh, it was this. But it was eerie enough that, and it was quiet enough that at times it was just super isolating. You were just like, I wish there was music or something because I'm just...
There was a lot of creepy silence.
Yeah, it was exactly.
But... Yeah, no, I agree. That totally added to the feel because they were. I mean, you're out in the middle of friggin' space.
Yeah,
they said it was like we're X light years or some stupid amount away from help. Like they were.
It was a long
way the 9 million out there. Yeah, like nobody's coming to help 90 them.
90 million clicks. From whatever.
Yeah, it was something stupid.
That's more than 12 parsecs.
It was definitely more than 12 parsecs.
It's more than 47 meters.
I don't know the light year to parsec conversion rate, but...
Well, and that those creepy sound effects and that weird ambiance is reason number two, because that was actually created by the electronic dance group Orbital from the 90s that I don't know if you guys listened to, but I did. There's another tie-in. Yeah. So they were brought in to collaborate with the guy who composed the score to basically add in a bunch of synth sounds and creepy recorded sounds that a composer wouldn't think to put into a movie, but an electronic musician would. So they used those guys to help creep it up. So I thought that was kind of cool. So that was reason number two for Orbital IPA. Reason number three is this month is Ecliptic's 5-year anniversary. So why the fuck not feature them? Because nice. I love them.
Ooh, cheers.
So Ecliptic Brewing, do you have some stuff you want to share with about them, guys?
I mean,
but
John Harris.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about
John
Harris.
Do I really need to say more?
But they're all space themed because John Harris is like an amateur astronomer. He's just obsessed with space.
He's
and his
space
telescopes.
Nerd.
Yeah. So and all beer the beers are space themed and space named and all that. So it just seemed to go really, really
well. You should call him up right now and see if we can find out how far 12 parsecs is.
Mm, we're not that close.
You could be after this phone call.
Call him anyways.
I don't think I have his personal phone. I could probably get it with a few text messages.
I'll bet you could. Because you got the connections.
I do have connections. But
So tell us about John Harris and his amazing brewery, though.
Shit. So John Harris is basically one of the fathers of craft brewing in Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, he's a beer god. He started, I don't know the years, but he originally started, I think, at McMiniman's.
Mm-hmm. He just passed 30 years in the brewing business.
Is it 30? So, okay. That sounds about right. Yeah. So he was doing McMiniman's for a while. Then he went to a little brewery called Deschutes.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you've heard of it.
And did, like, some little things like Mare Pond and Black Butte.
Oh, those were his beers, right? Yeah.
And then he eventually got to the point... I mean, I'm sure he's gone other places in between, but these are the kind of the highlights. And then he started Ecliptic. He started his own brewery.
He was at Full Sail for
Sorry, Full Sail. I totally skipped Full Sail.
Sorry, Full Sail. We love you, too.
My bad. And at Full Sail, we actually got to at Festival of the Dark Arts. Was it Festival of the Dark Arts?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
We got to try one of his beers
that
Full Sail found. It was a 20-year-old bourbon barrel aged stout.
Yeah.
Thank God it was bourbon aged. And was it beyond its time or was it glorious?
No. It was drinking good. It drank like freaking motor oil, but it was delicious.
It was one of those where they were like, go to that keg first because it'll be gone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one of a kind. It's been sitting there for 20 years and they just find it.
Yeah.
And we got there a little bit late, and then we didn't. We kind of stopped and got corn dogs,
and then
we stopped
like, oh,
and got
shit.
Some other beers. And then, Grace goes, oh, shit, we got to get that beer. So we run up there and get it.
Psycho nerd.
And we all kind of meet, and we're smelling it, and we're sipping it. And then all of a sudden we just hear, oh, keg blue.
Oh.
I mean, we like
I would have been so angry.
You guys were like the final girl.
I would have went and bought another corn dog to beat you two with because you're like, but we need for long corn dogs.
Yeah, I did not eat a corn dog.
I want to see that happen.
Almost
this one. He ate it before I got there. His entire and then like three quarters of mine because I got a little ways into it and I was like, I don't want a foot of corn dog.
Yeah, that's beer room. You'd be taking up.
I know. I'm like, shit, yeah. I'm going to be so full by the end of this shit anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Juan's from another planet. He's got two stomachs, so.
I think he might. He has a gift.
No, I'm a cow half four. Great.
Fuck. Fantastic.
Hey, ask me see your teeth, dude.
No, no. You a milking cow?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh.
What? I'm just saying.
I'm a rainbow.
The chest hairs that would get us milk.
That went homemade ice creams and things?
Into a weird, dark place. But anyway, John Harris started Ecliptic. Do you have the year that Ecliptic... Oh, 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing just the math kidding. On that for you, but
I'm real sleepy. So John Harris started Ecliptic, and he kind of got a chance to really play with his own beers and do his own spin. Like,
and
so
he's
everything,
won, like, every award that you can win. He has. And every venue.
He's one of those brewers that he does every style really well.
Yeah.
Everything's very clean. It's meticulous. The dude knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to release a beer that's not high quality. And it's cool that he gets them all to be kind of space themed. And he has all these different kind of...
Oh, yeah. Well, my number one go-to fridge beer for about, what, probably 2 years now has been his beer, Starburst IPA, which is... Yeah.
It's pretty crushable for like freaking 8%.
To just stuff in your fridge and drink one and... Take the edge off your evening. That's the one I have on hand all the time.
That's fair. It's a good beer. Yeah. But no, John Harris is, he's an icon.
Yeah, he certainly is.
He's up on the pedestal with my other like beer gods.
Not that you would know it, because he'll come over and chat you up, talk to you in his cargo shorts.
His cargo shorts. His I don't think the man owns pants.
Nope.
But very, very
have we all seen what he looks like?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Old guy, big beard.
Is that a big beard? Big-ish beard, yeah.
Big-ish
not crazy beard, but beard.
I think I met him a couple of times when I was at the brewery.
He looks a little parrot-heady, but I don't think he is. Yeah.
He does kind of have that vibe.
It's that vibe. Fair. Yeah, but I don't know. You know. Yeah.
Maybe it's the cargo shorts.
Could be, in the Hawaiian shirt kind of thing and stuff.
Yeah. Well, everybody, go super visit nice and tell him Grace sent you.
Right? He'll be like, what? Oh, shit is Grace.
Cryptic brewing.
And then like a year later, after everybody's been like, Grace sends me, you show up and you'll be like, hi, I'm Grace.
He's like, oh, I
John and I've met a couple times, but not enough where he's gonna know who the heck I am.
Plus, he's met every single person that ever existed because in all beer. So
and
his Memorex or what are they? Rolodex.
Memorex. Yes. Wow, nice.
His Rolodex is full.
We're all a bunch of little fan nerds.
Oh yeah,
and John Harris is in that realm.
Totally.
But yeah.
Anyways, good beer though. This is quite good. I haven't had an Orbiter in a while.
Yeah, really nice.
I know, I haven't had this. I don't drink this one very often.
It's the type of beer that you would imagine would be in, like, space tubes that you would have to suck out and have floating in the air. Yeah, and then you'd, like, gobble it while it's floating by you.
You know what's great about it,
I could have done that. I could have just, like, splashed it at you guys.
It would have been, like, just like an outer space.
I should have brought the Shambon.
You know what's great about it, too?
What's great about it, Juan?
It's an IPA.
God damn it, Juan. Oh, I was trying to avoid that. I was trying to avoid that conversation.
You can call it an IPA.
I actually thought about doing some of their other IPAs, like maybe Starburst, just because I was like, well, that's the one.
But
I really
Orbiter
like.
Makes more sense.
And this is less of a punch in the face.
Than yeah, I actually, the other ones this is not nearly as...
Also, according to the side of the bottle, World Beer Cup 2018 Bronze Award for this one. English-style IPA.
There you go.
No, that's why I like it.
It's a wee bit maltier.
Yeah, well, even the color shows.
So 75 IBUs.
English IPAs.
IBUs are
fake
anyway, so that's fine.
That's the only thing that would make this better, is on cask.
See, Orbiter IPA unites a constellation of hops, Cascade, Centennial, Chinook, Columbus, and Simcoe to create a formidable IPA. Bright and citrusy hop flavors shine in a medium body with caramel malt character.
And again, it's 7.5% and doesn't drink like it.
No, it doesn't.
A lot of his beers are like that, it's quite good. Quite good.
Quite good.
So nice. Just today's
summer friends. Coming up. It's going to be a good beer for it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's readily available. They I wrote down their distribution
they're
so
everywhere.
We can talk about Oregon, Washington, Northern Idaho, Colorado, North Carolina, Canada, and Japan.
Oh.
So, what do you know?
There's a lot of and baristas.
And Facebook beer trading groups everywhere.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm. Not that I would ever do that. Today. So
do that.
Those visions of the, like, kind Share of hell-induced, like, gore orgies that this crew yeah, right. was inflicting upon itself were apparently inspired by Hieronymus Bosch, who is, oh, God, what century? 16, 17?
I've got that 16. In my 17 pages of notes somewhere.
Okay.
But I want to say it's you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah, a Renaissance painter, so that's mm-hmm. 16th, I guess.
Right. For yeah, based off, exactly, based off Renaissance painter.
Who I really have enjoyed his paintings for a long time. He's the guy that paints the, like, it'll be like a high overview of a large, maybe kind of barren or odd landscape with people just being tortured all over it
yeah.
by, like, demons and beaked oh, creatures yeah. and things like that. Mm. And they're all being ripped on a rack or cut in half sure. or whatever. They're very interesting, but also quite beautiful paintings.
I wonder if that was considered art back then, or if they had to take a trip to the therapist like we would have to now if we started painting shit like that.
Yeah, I don't... It was a lot harder to be a secular artist in some countries back then, because that was just heresy, and you were killed.
Yeah.
Heresy. So
there was no second chance.
So I don't know. I don't know how it was seen, but he painted his versions of hell, basically, and so they took a lot of his works and turned them into some of those scenes that are pretty gross. But there's some gross shit happening in this movie that's not even in those flashbacks.
Yeah.
There's already some kind of gnarly stuff.
I actually have a fairly detailed description of the infamous blood orgy video that got cut out.
Yeah.
And they talk about, they talk about how they achieve some of these effects that sent the audience or the screening audience into mm-hmm. swooning and fainting because they used amputees as actors to achieve that absolute so real effect
tear off limbs
of limbs getting torn off and okay. beaten and stripped. And lots of orgy, like violent rape situations in that Captain's Log video thing.
Oh, yeah. There was some guy getting sodomized by like a
by a pipe pole by some yeah, female yeah. Mm-hmm. crew member. And so they hired porn stars to come in and do it because, you know, that's what porn stars do, right?
Yeah, they have a cannibalistic three-way, which right. I also saw in there. It was like three people doing it, and they were eating each other at the same time.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, there's a female crew member sodomizing a male crew member with an iron pipe. Yeah. And these are all cut. You know, a lot of naked crew members covered in blood, having very violent sex, raping and eating each other. Some dude pulls his intestines out through his mouth.
I wonder what that was, because there was like a hand yeah. in a mouth and something came out. I just thought it was a tongue or something, but...
Yeah, another crew member. And these are all more than what you see there, obviously. There's much sure. more graphic, much more time showing these things. One crew member had some kind of spike jabbed through the back of his head and out his mouth, and so parts of his mouth and his teeth came flying out.
We get the scene of the spike out the mouth, yeah, but not the actual
not the whole
jabbing.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's crew members crawling on the ground trying to get away while other crew members are just beating the guy's legs into pulps, and that was one of the amputees as he's crawling away and his legs are just being chunked off into bits.
I don't know why I'm all excited over him. I'm like, oh man, I want to see this shit.
One girl had her breasts mauled and then ripped off by other crew members, so I mean, they went into a lot of just,
wow. So what we're actually revealing here is that this footage was removed and then purposely destroyed.
Yeah.
Everything else has been a cover story.
To the salt mines.
They were like,
the
hide
best
this
men
in a salt
are,
mine. Yeah.
Top
yeah.
men.
Top men are taking care of it.
Some guy's like, I'm not going to have the curse of burning it, so just put it in a mine.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, that's just...
And it is all very hell-raisery looking. There's yeah. chains and wires and people strapped up. And there's like a half a torso like wired to the ceiling and the floor yeah. and kind of hanging with spotlight behind it and stuff.
And intestines. And yeah.
Yeah. It was all very attic yeah. scene.
Yeah, it was.
And you know, the it's funny too because for as the film to me seemed like it almost delivered. It didn't quite deliver on the promise of what it could have been. But for the production value and for the effects value and the budget that went into it. I mean, this was a really dialed in looking film.
Sure. Yeah.
Great effects, great ship designs. I mean, all kinds of things like that. It's so surprising to me that all of this went into it. Like you said, they had to build a whole robot to do the filming. A third of the budget was taken up in like one of the scenes where the ship had to orbit the Event Horizon.
Oh, it was like the very first scene where the space station was orbiting the Earth.
Yeah,
that's they said it was like a third of the effects budget. Yeah,
It's just amazing to me that it only did like $20 million.
Yeah, it was a $60 million
out of its $60 million budget.
Budget and did like 29. Yeah. Yeah, so it was a flop.
Yeah,
and then now it's a super cult classic. And yeah. I actually came into it last night when I sat down to watch it thinking, oh my God, I love this movie so much, and I can't believe we're finally going to do it. And oh, I've loved this movie for so long. And I've been talking about it for, I don't know, over a year.
That was on my mind when I watched it, too.
And I was like, oh man, I got to get... And then I was kind of like, oh, okay. All right, yeah, cool. I still like it. But it's not as amazing as I recall it being from when I rented it off of those Blockbuster shelves and when I first bought it and watched it. And I think there's been a couple better films since then, like Pandorum.
Yeah.
Or Pandora. Or yeah. What was that called?
Pandorum.
Pandorum?
Well, in this...
That was crazy good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, and this was actually... They made a film... this was taken off of the 1972 book Solaris. A lot of influence there. Yeah. Which George Clooney then later starred in a movie called Solaris.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I read about it is that... the director here didn't really even give any credit or nod to that influence, and some people were a little bit perturbed about that. But the original book, I can't remember the author's name, is quite good.
Okay. I haven't read the book. I've seen Solaris, but
yeah,
no, definitely two different films on viewing them.
You can see the influence. You can see the idea and everything. And then you can say, oh, they took this and turned it into a horror movie.
Yeah. There was a 70s movie, apparently, called Satan's Triangle. And I found this out just going down the rabbit hole of searching. I haven't seen it or anything. But in this 70s film, there is a like a Coast Guard helicopter or something, basically radios for help. And it's like, help, help, help. And it's in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And it also disappeared for a little while. And so a rescue crew is sent out to save this crew, and when they get there, the crew is not what they appear, and they find out that this helicopter has gone somewhere, you know, sinister, and come back. So it's apparently like exactly this film. Like the helicopter went to hell and came back possessed and full of demons and shit. And the crew
we've seen that many times.
It kind of seems like it.
I'm trying to recall certain like maybe popular movies that follow that same route, but I can't think of
some
any right
portal
now.
To hell. Well, kind of Void. Even The Void.
When you mentioned triangles, I was thinking The Void.
Yeah, where they go into that hospital and you get down to the basement and you find out, oh, there's a portal and it's spilling over and how crazy everything was. So, I mean, we do see it a lot. This was just one of the first times I had seen it growing up.
What was that one film in the 80s where that kid found a portal and...
Gate.
The Gate!
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you. There you go.
Stephen Dorff.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. All right.
Now he's vaping with e-cigs, dude.
Dude, don't they, like, isn't the climax of that film a model rocket?
Something like that, I think.
Don't they, like, shoot a model Estes rocket?
Because they open it up with the record. Yeah. The gate opens up with the record they play backwards or something like that, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah.
Well, it just goes to show you, there's only so many devices, and
dude.
You're going to end up using one.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Wow. So yeah, this had a lot of stuff. I thought that it was very much, they tried to get the vibe of Alien with the horror of Hellraiser, all with like the urgency and action movie of like Deep Space Nine or something like that. Like that was kind of my vibe of the whole thing. It was a lot of influences in one film.
It was.
And it didn't, like you were saying at the beginning, it didn't fully explore.
No. Again, it stuns me because all the work they put into the production of it, the props, I mean, just the spacesuits alone, so much went into the spacesuits.
So much weight.
Yeah, they were super heavy.
Yeah.
The actors couldn't sit. They had to have special poles.
You couldn't stand because it hurt your back.
But they did things like made a whole bunch of LEDs or lighting that would change based on the intensity of the actor. They had badges on them that represented the different countries. Like the United States had 55 stars in it because they're saying, hey, we're, you know.
Wonder who we picked up.
50 years in the future, obviously our world would be slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, they had all kinds of things like that. The Union flag had different stars on it, all kinds of little subtle things. I'm like, man, people put in a lot of energy into these subtle things that nobody's going to notice, hoping that it pays off and this becomes a huge blockbuster or something.
And I think it might have had it stayed the way it was originally made. I think it would have at least been a quality version of whatever it was going for. Well, and it still is quality. But, I mean, it would have been like a great version.
Yeah, because it wasn't just cutscenes that were gory. There was storyline in
there, too. They changed a bunch of storyline. They took out the whole entry scene of them rescuing some other ship and having things go wrong. So, yeah, it was chopped a lot. And I guess even the – was it Paramount that did this?
Yeah.
I guess even the guy in charge of Paramount came to him like years after the release and was like, hey, we kind of screwed your movie. And I feel bad about it because it was going to be a rad movie. So let's get all that shit together and re-put it out the way you want it. They came to him to do that. So, I mean, they even saw that this movie was about to be something really big.
Yeah, that would have pissed me off because then you find out that all your shit on the cutting floor is
you find out it's gone. Yeah.
Salt mine in Transylvania that some...
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So wild.
Yep.
Huh. Hey, so we breezed right over your challenge to us, which was, what would we be tormented by?
Oh, thanks. We thanks for bringing that back.
Someone's going to be like, hey.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, if you were in some scenario where greater powers of evil decided to screw with you, and I, you know, obviously this is could get very intimate, and you don't have to share, by all means. But yeah, would there be something that you, let me put it this way, would there be something in a group of your friends that if a possession started happening like this, you would not want that shit to start surfacing?
No.
No?
Yeah. There's not a great secret in my life that like I would be embarrassed or ashamed.
Nothing
or
that you'd be like overly, that. Nothing you couldn't just like man up and say, okay, well that happened in my life and everybody'd be like, yeah, it's
cool. No, I think the things that I'm like more self-conscious about and hide are like little tiny things. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I was super rude to that guy and I don't want to own up to it. Not like anything big that like...
It's more personal in your head shit.
Some demon would come fuck me up. But I'll tell you how a demon would come fuck me up. A demon would come fuck me up by having me have to go into one of those stasis chambers.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. I remember when you were at the elevator at a beer fest one time.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to put this little mask on you and then fill this thing with water and you won't drown because you're just going to be knocked out for 3 years.
I don't want to do that shit. No.
Fuck off, demon.
Okay, so that's how you'd be tormented.
Mine would be claustrophobia and solitariness.
How do you not get the little prunes? The little
that's right. They're not pruning.
Seriously, it's you're not pruning.
Just water.
Oh, this movie's horseshit. They weren't pruning.
Yeah, they're not pruning. Bullshit.
It's got minerals.
Water. It's got shit in it.
And vitamins.
Doesn't matter.
That was
pruning on any sort of.
That was
there's
Dan's
probably
question.
Anti-pruning shit in it.
Yes.
I don't know.
There's such thing as soothing herbs and any oils. Sort of
liquid.
It's got essential oils in it.
It's just silicon. It just puffs you up. You come out like a giant.
Put your finger in a beer for an hour and see if it doesn't prune.
Oh,
I don't want to put my finger.
I'm just saying, I'm not warming up my beer that way, and B, I've never had a beer last an hour.
Damn,
that much.
You're just saying, you don't even need much. Put it in your water, then. You
should have said that.
Well, that'll do it. It's water.
Ding ding ding.
But I don't know. I don't think. What,
oh, I'm a tortured soul, man. I have all kinds of shit I wouldn't want anybody.
Where's your body buried that we don't know about?
Everywhere. It's in parts, man. No, I got a lot of. I got regrets, man.
I have regrets, but nothing that I haven't already talked about with all my friends.
Yeah, yes.
I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
Being the private person that I am, what you hear on this podcast fucking ain't me, man. I'm pretty private.
He's more than just quiet. Japanese tentacle porn. and a granny tablet. He's a lot deeper than that. Everybody.
His granny tablet's on its last oxygen tank. Finally, I'll tell you that much.
Finally hit the surface, man. Finally hit this asphalt.
Yeah, that thing didn't just shatter. It, like, shattered. It's pretty good.
Time to get a cell phone.
I know. Time to get a cell phone.
I've thought about it.
Oh,
oh my God, that's it. It would be a cell phone chasing him.
Yes, exactly.
That is what it would be. It'd be the whole world going, you don't have one of these.
No, what it would be somebody like making me share. I'd have to share.
So you brought up this topic of sharing.
Oh, I thought
and your
meant,
biggest
like,
fear would be sharing?
Yeah, sharing personal shit. Yeah.
Oh, not fries. Okay, I was like, no, I'm sharing fries.
Only Aaron shares fries.
That would probably be Juan's.
Dude. Okay.
It'd be me stealing one of his french fries. Just
how you know that's not true is
because she did it right in front of us?
The one time she took a fry. just to get me in trouble with Juan over here.
She did it.
Was so that was what 10 years ago? But what I'm saying is that was such a traumatic event.
Time doesn't heal all wounds, Aaron.
It was mentioned in her vows last month when we got married.
It was.
Yes. She vowed to never take food finally, off after my 10 plate years, in front of Juan.
After 10 in her years. Vows. Oh, in front of funny. Me. In front of me. It still happens. So it's fine.
Well, no, the difference is now. We look at each other and we each take fries off your plates, and then you guys are both just like, shit.
That is true. They sap our power, one.
We have a pact.
It was gonna go
if I
vows.
Take one, she takes one, and then you guys can't vows, fight about it.
You're not touching my fries.
Okay, so my torture would be confinement and solitary and mm-hmm. isolation. Yes. Yours would be having to
having
share.
Having my life book opened
so
up
what
to people.
You guys got? What would a demon come to terrorize you with?
Well.
Since none of us have, like, murders in our past.
Mine are probably
we've already gone past you.
I don't know. Come and torture me with something that I hate or whatever that I've been mean to
like
you
an
or
oven
done to
mitt
you.
Or a spider.
A spider.
See, that's why I feel he would be kind of easy.
Spider or
I know they could just
being locked in something and not being able to move. You know,
so
confinement for sure.
Maybe if you were
I don't
put
like
inside
that.
Of a giant oven mitt. With a little person
who uses oven
who had
mitts.
A
use
collection
a damn
of spiders
in the face of his ex-wife.
And then that would be okay. I gotta tell you, hell has limits.
I know. Yeah, no,
they
true.
Might not go there.
Hell won't even go
even
there.
Even Satan's like, listening Satan's to this
like,
podcast
I ain't
oh,
fucking
too
with
soon.
That.
That's right. That's right.
He's like, I got spiders and oven mitts, but
What about you, Grace? What's your
great a world without whiskey.
That would suck.
Oh, God, yeah.
No. Hello. Satan would be scared of my wrath if they took away whiskey.
Grace, a world of drinking cider all
ugh,
day.
God.
Maybe I'd have to spend another 25 years in retail.
There's some good cider.
Maybe that would be my torment.
That would be.
Mine would probably be regrets
about eating
like
marshmallow
not...
and coconut?
Coconut. Oh, coconut, marshmallow, whiskey.
Only coconut dark beers is all you can drink the rest
coconut
of your life.
Is,
the
devil.
But
these are all dying. Things we don't like. I'm not going like, to
the devil would be
like pains of our
Grace,
life.
Grace, I have prepared for you this entire warehouse of whiskey. She'd be like, oh shit, this is rad.
But it's flavored
like,
as coconut.
It's all coconut on this side and marshmallow on that side.
Actually, okay. No, you like marshmallow. You hate... Oh no.
You like the...
What is your deal with marshmallows? Marshmallows are delicious.
Whipped cream.
It's whipped cream.
Ready whip?
But anyway, regrets?
No, mine would probably be regrets about like not being with people that I should have been with, like family wise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of family dirt.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
And me.
And there's
that,
a lot of that in
would,
this movie.
That
too,
would come to haunt me.
Yeah, see now Grace nails it on the head. That's what we're talking about. That kind
of
shit.
It's that kind of stuff, yeah. Because we come to find out that this lady, you know, killed herself and the guy wasn't there. We come to find out that the reason the captain sees a person that wants to be saved is because he once had to abandon a crewmate and leave him to die. And we find out that all these things that the ship is using are like their trigger.
Yeah.
And that's the psychological horror aspect of the film. And then there's plenty of gore horror too, and people get effed up and that lady gets smashed and people tearing their own eyes out, sewing their eyes shut.
Well, there you go. I hope we've created some insightful thought for the listeners, too.
Yes.
Put some of them into tears, maybe.
I don't think that. Well, we may have done that, but it wasn't because of anything we planned.
No.
They're just like, why did I listen to this shit again?
Yeah.
yeah. What else about
yeah,
this
what else
film?
Do we do? We
kind
of wrapped
talk
up.
About? Well, there's 8 billion things we could talk about with
there
this
really
film,
are.
But
well, I have a fun thing that old Paul William Scott Anderson was getting ready to film Soldiers with Kurt Russell. Remember that movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, some super soldier.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he had to postpone that because Kurt Russell had to get his bod in shape.
Oh.
And work out. So then he said,
must have been after Captain Ron. I don't know. He wasn't in shape for that.
Probably.
Why is the top button of your Hawaiian shirt button?
He's going
stop
all
that.
Gangster.
Oh, he is going Jesus. All gangster.
I don't know.
Anyway, so then that's why he filmed Event Horizon when he did. Cause...
So I tried getting onto Paul W. Anderson a few times at the beginning, but he made 5 Resident Evil movies.
I got his filmography right here, man.
Directed 4 of them, wrote 5 of them. He did The Death Race. He wrote all 3 of the Death Race movies. But I actually knew him from way back And this is funny because I still have the video cassette, like the VHS of this. I've just kept it all these years. He did a movie called Shopping.
Yeah.
That I was goddamn in love with in like 94, 95 maybe is when I came across that at some video store and I bought a used copy. And it had Sadie Frost in it, who is the Mina's friend from Bram Stoker's Dracula is how most people know her, but this is before that. Mm. And her and who was the guy that was in that?
Shopping.
Now I can't remember. Anyways, it was about smash and grabs. It was about this trend in England that was happening where people would drive their vehicle through the front windows of a store, smash out the windows, load the whole car, and then take off and escape from the police.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool, just kind of, I don't know, it had kind of a punky, kind of a street kid vibe. Mm-hmm. And it was very awesome. And I haven't seen it in decades, but I have kept that VHS in the hopes of someday watching it again. I absolutely loved that movie. I've probably seen it 15 times.
Well, according to Anderson, he blames the censors of the British Board of Film Classification for not being happy with the violence in the film.
Yeah.
And they delayed its release for months and months and months. And he...
Event Horizon? Or
No. Shopping.
Okay, yeah. It was pretty violent, yeah.
Yeah, and when it eventually came out, they decided to ban it for promoting irresponsible attacks like that, which he then later says, hey, this gave way to the success of movies like Trainspotting. So he kind of claims... He kind of claims a certain amount of like responsibility for paving the way for movies
like Killing Zoe or Killing Zoe, however you say it.
Shallow Grave also along that line.
Oh my God, do I love that film.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
We should do Shallow Grave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not horror. But it's very psychological.
He just believes that his movie Shopping put a more positive light on these other...
I could definitely see that because I love all those films that you just mentioned. Trainspotting, Shallow Grave. I mean, all those are films that I really enjoy. And Shopping was one of the first of that kind of film that I saw. And I just glommed onto it. So when I saw that... And for some reason, I didn't realize that this was the same guy. But when I saw that he had done that, I kind of flipped a little bit. Oh, this is also the guy that's married to my future wife.
She has been around.
Well, yeah, but she currently married to my future wife.
Mila
Jovovich.
Because she has a habit of marrying the directors because she married the director of Fifth Element, you know.
Who's a douche. I don't know if this guy's a douche or not.
She knows how to get what she wants.
No, he kind of
is. But Luc Besson is a douche for sure. He makes fun movies. I love his movies. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this Paul Anderson guy, he definitely pulls the Rob Zombie because he has put her in, well, four or five of his Resident Evil movies. And there's one or two other ones that he's
He also did The Three Musketeers and Pompeii.
I liked that swashbuckling kind of kung fu high wire Three Musketeers movie. I kind of liked it.
That Mila was like in?
It was like a Hong Kong martial art version of Three Musketeers. Yeah. And I had no idea he did that.
Pompeii? Yeah.
It kind of felt like Brotherhood of the Wolf without like the really cool storyline.
Yeah.
And Pompeii I haven't seen, so I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it.
I've seen Pompeii.
Hmm. All right. Well, good for him.
Don't want to spoil it, but the volcano blows up.
Oh shit.
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, I hope everyone lived.
Did you know that? Sure. The guy from Brotherhood of the Wolf, the Indian guy, remember?
They're all fucked. Yeah.
Was in John
That's
Week
Iron
3.
Chef.
Yeah, Iron Chef. And he's in John Wick 3.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to somebody at work and they're like, yeah, it's got the Iron Chef. I'm like, you mean the guy from Brotherhood of the Wolf?
The secret ingredient is. That's right. Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, right there.
Secret beef. You're like, oh. This is going to be boring.
The secret ingredient.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, we could go down 10,000 things of trivia, but there's really no need. What you've got here is you've got a ghost movie, a haunting movie, a possession movie with a little bit of gore stuffed into, Alien.
No, I'm with you on that one, man. It's a sci-fi film.
It is.
Well, sure it is. And it's a horror film.
It's a horror film.
I mean, Alien was a sci-fi film, but it is also considered to be a great horror film. Yeah, but if you can argue that and not argue for this one, that's
I also feel that Alien is sci-fi, not necessarily horror. Thousand times
the horror as Alien.
Yeah, I feel like Alien is absolutely sci-fi.
I feel that Alien is a sci-fi movie that's horrific and horror in nature, and this is a horror movie that is sci-fi in nature.
I'll accept that. This
is way more of a horror film than Alien ever was.
I will accept that.
Considering that Alien came out way before this one does, it takes top notch for horror sci-fi.
Well, it's a better film.
It's a better film.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, duh, yeah.
But it's not a horror.
So I don't know. This is a good one. Like, you know, if people were like, oh, would you recommend I watch it? I'm kind of torn because, again, I had a love affair with this film up until I watched it last night, at which point I was just like, oh, it's still pretty cool.
Too late to pull out now.
But now I'm wondering, like, for someone's... For someone's first viewing, like, would this hold up today? I think it would.
I think it would. It's still good. I like it. Well, I watched it again.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought I hadn't seen it. And then, like, in the opening scene, the medic lady, I was like, I've seen her in something. I've seen her in some movie where she's, like, chasing after a stupid little kid. And then 10 minutes later, I was like, oh, it's this movie. I've seen this movie.
I've seen her in this movie.
Got it. Just kidding. Watch just looking at me like, you're an idiot.
First off, why chase after a little kid? Be happy with it and be like, oh, cool, bye.
Well, I can't say that I'm overly disappointed in any of the movies that we have rewatched now, 20, 30 years later.
Sure.
Because it's a whole different journey and experience. Because when we did watch them back then, again, we've talked many times about how this was all new and cutting edge. You weren't seeing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that alone made them magnificent. Yeah. Right? It raised them up into the mounts of, you know, Olympus and whatever. But now when you watch them, it's a whole different thing, and you get to reflect back and say, well, why was it so great? This is corny now. I see this all the time, but it's just a neat journey.
Sure.
So, you know, I'll watch something like this, and I'll agree with you. It's, like, not that great, but it's fun to see what you remembered of the past, what they're doing now, and what has been done that's so much more amazing than this.
I spent a lot of time in this movie waiting for it to click into great. Because they take you to that edge a bunch of times. And you're like, oh, here's where it's about to get freaking rad. This must be what... Oh, no, well, okay. Almost.
Yeah.
But still good. Still a solid movie. You know, definitely hunt it down. Watch it. It's on what... Hulu's got it on their Stars thing. And
I really feel like this movie should have been a early 90s movie. Mm-hmm. It just strikes me as that era, and I definitely want to encourage... Well,
when did it come out, like 98?
97,
98. Yeah, because it was right before Titanic came out.
But but it feels like it just should have been later, you know. Not late 80s, but early 90s. And I think everybody should go back and absolutely watch every possible movie they can from the 80s.
Well, sure.
That's the fucking foundation, and they owe homage to it for what they're enjoying now.
It felt 90s to me because it feels kind of like an In the Mouth of Madness.
I like that movie.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know. I guess I assume, or I kind of assign the 90s to all those kind of Hellraiser-y vibes, even though, you know, the originators were before that, but all the ones that came after, I don't know.
I would really like to see the fucking... uncut version, man.
I really would.
I would like to have seen what it could have been.
Yeah. Even hearing, like, certain scenes in this that were super kind of climactic and very exciting scenes, like when the guy is kind of made by the ship to force himself out the airlock and they're trying to stage a rescue on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That scene was originally in the first 5 minutes, and it was part of their rescue of that other ship that they were going to, like, be kind of introduced as, you know, oh, we're a salvage team, we're a rescue mission team, blah, blah, blah. And he just loved it so much when he found out they were cutting that out. He just wrote it. So, I mean, there was a lot of changes made just because.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know how that really impacted. A little bit of
comedy, too, though.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Like the guy that's using his oxygen tank to fly back in after he's in space, and all of a sudden you forget about him, and all of a sudden
Lawrence Fishburne's
battling him in there, and he's like, hey, motherfucker, I got you.
Was that Cooper? Was that his name?
Yeah, Cooper, yep.
He was awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he was really fun.
I forget what else he was in, but I've seen him in many a thing.
He was in something else with
Lawrence Fishburne.
He played his kid in, shit, I forgot who they were portraying. Anyways. But yeah, they had been in a movie together before.
Yeah that was the one. Was really that funny. Was the one scene where I kind of cracked up, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Because the fucking whole Lewis and Clark blows up.
But I wanted that.
And this
I
dude's on the outside, and then dude, you find out later, himself,
dude. He's trying to save them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think by cutting out all the graphic goriness, they lost a certain element because. So through the movie, you get that loneliness and that isolation and that creep factor. Mm-hmm. And you know they're scared of whatever they saw, but without us seeing what they saw, it's hard to connect with that level of fear that they have. Because if they've seen something that horrific, they are freaking terrified.
I would have loved to have seen that and had the storyline make me wondering, oh God, when are they going to go into that? When are they going to snap? And when is a pipe going to come out? And
there was some really great stuff, though. Guys bursting into flames and...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, there's still definitely a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah, they did carry some of that over.
It wasn't bound in any way to, like you were saying, to the feeling of it or that.
Yeah, you lost that, connection of fear of what is happening.
Well, my question is if it was a ship that was possessed, I guess, did this ship then have the ability to affect the material plane, the material items, because that one guy got killed and was hung up in the ceiling with his guts open.
No, what's his butt did that to him?
Yeah, that was done by
By Weir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think the ship can possess.
It just they messed with people.
And didn't possess with their minds.
Which is why it couldn't stop them from explosive or any of the other things that will happen in the film. It couldn't stop them from doing that. It was just like kind of influencing them in the best way.
It's just a mind fuck.
But even then, the ship took second fiddle to the Sam Neill character when he got fully just possessed and tore his eyes out and sewed him closed and his face was also he obviously had been embraced by whatever the
he kind of became the entity,
the hell of this thing.
He
became at that point the bad guy the ship kind of didn't matter anymore. And so you weren't really afraid of the ship anymore. You're just like, well, just kill this guy and you're fine.
It was kind of a bummer.
Because
you spent this whole time scared of the ship and you're like, well, is it only him or is it still the ship?
Still better than Ghost Ship, though.
Well, what is Lawrence Fishburne's name in The Matrix? Was that Mobius? Or
no, he's Morpheus.
Morpheus. Nobody fucks with Morpheus.
No.
A fucking haunted ship. Go fuck off.
I'm sure he was cool in this movie again.
I mean, he's just always cool. Well,
yeah.
Let me rephrase that. He's not my favorite as a friggin' pigeon-keeping hobo assassin in the John Wick movies.
He's also in Boys in the Hood.
But Lawrence Fishburne is awesome.
He's also in Boys in the Hood, dude.
Yeah.
He's got to keep Cuba straight, dude.
Anyway, so yeah, not everything I remembered it being, but still quite enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely worth watching.
All right. Well, there you has it. In the meantime, go track down Walt Disney's The Black Hole and show it to your kids.
It because then is they'll end up awesome like joy us. To watch.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think I ever watched it.
Oh, very similar. Ship.
We're not talking the brown hole. We're talking the black hole.
Ship, big spaceship disappears. suddenly it's back on the radar. People are like, oh, we better go see what happened to it. What happened to the crew? And they show up and they find out that it and the crew have gone somewhere and changed. And it's extremely similar.
Yeah,
nice. Extremely similar. And definitely not what you would call kid material today.
No.
But it was really awesome. And the score... It's freaking haunting. When I put it back on YouTube last night, it just like flooded me with nostalgia. I was like, oh my God, I'm scared again.
That little propeller arm.
Maximilian. Yeah, it was good stuff. So go check out Disney's The Black Hole also, because it's right up this vibe and quite forgotten, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs a resurgence.
It definitely does.
And I'm against remakes, but man, I'd love to see this one done up.
I think Black Hole could do. Yeah, that could be a good remake.
Yeah.
Well, and Disney owns enough companies now that could get away with it.
Exactly.
It could still be their film without having to put...
They could freaking tie it into Star Wars now if they want to.
And you just don't have to slap the castle on it. You know, it doesn't have to be a Disney production. So you could make it really dark like it was. And,
exactly.
They wouldn't have to hear about it.
Well, all right.
Anyway.
Until next time, I guess, then.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Peace.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers.
Blue, ha, 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 ha.